Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, the founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show on how to start over life's second chances with my special guest, Roz Bazil. I'm Charissa Sebastian, a coach, speaker, writer, and co-owner of Stop, Smile, Breathe Women's Retreats. I'm a certified life and leadership coach for women, and I hold my certification through the International Coaching Federation. My passion is helping women break free from being stuck, overwhelmed, and stressed, mainly in their professional lives and in the area of work-life balance, to live a life of passion, purpose, joy, and fulfillment. You can find out more information about me and what I do on my website at www.charissasebastian.com. That's spelled SharissaSebastian. I'd like to take a moment to let you all know about a fabulous women's one-day spa retreat coming up on October 10th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Part of the proceeds of that event are going to support Hope Store, that's a local women's shelter. And you can find out more on my website if you click on the events tab, or you can go directly to our retreat's website, which is stopsmilebreathe.com. Stay tuned until the end of the show for a special discount offer for this event. I'd also like to invite listeners to call in with any questions or comments that you may have as we go through the show. Feel free to give us a call at 646-716-9397. So let's get into today's show, sponsored by Audible.com. We'll be talking about how to pick yourself back up when life throws you a curveball, finding your passion and your purpose, discovering or rediscovering who you are, and regaining a sense of identity, and lots more. I'm joined by my guest, Roz Bazil, who is a life coach, author, mentor, and entrepreneur. Roz, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am so glad to be here. I am Roz Bazil, and I'm a life coach. I'm now a number one best-selling author. I'm a mentor and entrepreneur. And I actually love helping women who face major life challenges and find themselves having to rebuild their lives again. I help them to rebuild their life. I walk them through that process so that they can live a life on their terms. They can begin to live the life of their dreams on their terms. And that's a little bit about who I am.
Great. Thank you, Roz. I'm so excited to have you on the show. And this is just going to be fantastic because there's so many different areas that you have just tremendous expertise in. So I'm really excited to have you share with our listening audience, and I know I'm going to learn a lot from you as well. So what brought you to this place of starting over and helping others? Because obviously that's a passion of yours, and you love helping people in that particular area. So what brought you to that place where you realized that that's what you wanted to do? Why are you so passionate about helping people in this area?
It was actually as a result of my own personal experience, and I was faced with starting over through no choice of my own, actually. It was in the summer of 2007, and my then pastor husband, he sat me down, and he said, I've been praying about it, and I've decided to move on with my life, so I'm filing for divorce. And so that short statement, which is actually less than about 20 words, it turned my life upside down in an instant. So, and it was the defining moment for me because the life that I once knew and the life that I expected to have in the future ceased to exist. So I found myself, you know, I was shocked, I was scared, I was angry, I was confused, you know, and every emotion in between. So it was a very tough journey for me, being so sudden and with really no warning. And so I had to navigate through that and actually rebuild my life.
Wow, yeah, that's definitely not an easy situation to be in. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. So one of the questions I have for you, Roz, is, you know, you mentioned all of those emotions that came up for you as a result of this, you know, really big punch in the gut that you experienced back in 2007. You mentioned that you, you know, of course you were shocked and then sad and angry and confused and all of those things. So why do you think that people, and I know this might seem obvious, the answer might seem obvious to a lot of people, but I'm going to ask the question anyway because I think there's different ways to look at this. So the question is, why do people find themselves in that place of confusion and, you know, frustration when it comes to these big changes that they have to go through in their lives?
Well, I found that the confusion and frustration happen when starting over was not by choice, because I had started over before, you know, years before when, for example, I started over in college. So it was after I was married, after I had two children, I took time to think about it. So I was already mentally prepared to start over in college. And so starting over then was actually on my terms. But when starting over is not by choice, there can be a lot of uncertainty, and there's that inherent fear of the unknown. You know, we don't know what to expect, and we don't quite understand many times why certain situations have happened the way that they did. But I find that the confusion and the frustration starts when it's when we don't have the choice. And it would be the same thing when a person is laid off from their job, because I've had that experience as well. And so, and I've had to start over, you know, in another job or a different path or career. So when you don't have that forethought or warning before you, that's when the fear and the confusion and the frustration, you know, can take over if you allow it to.
Absolutely. And like you said, it can apply to different situations as well, not necessarily specifically what you go through, but it can apply to any one of us who have been through a situation where things don't happen the way we expect it to. And that's where this fear of the unknown, the uncertainty, all of those things, those emotions can well up in us so quickly. And it can be very dangerous, because if we, you know, when we're at that point, we can sometimes jump to decision making and things like that where it may not be in our best interest in those moments. Yeah, I mean, it just opens up almost a whole can of worms when we operate from that space of being angry, confused, and sad, and all of those things. So how can we better cope with in those situations when, you know, we are thrown a curveball?
The best way is actually to have some type of support, because when you try to do it alone, you know, because, again, you're not really mentally, you're not in the right mindset to really make the best decisions many times for yourself or for your family. I remember talking to, it was actually a waiter at a restaurant, and he was telling us about his sister who was in the process of divorce, and she was getting like this $500,000 home on the beach, but she was so angry and bitter and upset, she was just ready to give it away. So she was in a place of hurt where she really was not able to make, you know, decisions that were in her best interest for her future, because many times we are focused on right now and the pain that we are experiencing right now, and we just want it to be over. And so sometimes we take drastic measures trying to rid ourselves of that pain or that uncomfortable feeling. And so the best thing that we can do is have a voice of reason. Have a voice of reason around us, someone we can trust, someone who can be objective and look out for our best interests. And it might be a family member. You know, it might be a life coach. It might be a counselor. But there needs to be someone who can help us stabilize our emotions. Because sometimes we make permanent decisions in temporary situations that will do us more harm in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you that the support is just so critical in those moments, not just to get a second opinion, but sometimes even just to talk it out. Because a lot of times, and I know this as a result of coaching, and I know this is your experience as well, Roz, being a coach, is sometimes even when we just have the opportunity to talk it out with someone, it really kind of untangles it that, you know, in our mind, because we tend to make such a big deal out of certain things in our mind. And granted, I mean, there are some situations where it's huge. It's like a catastrophic change, like what you went through. But sometimes just talking it out helps us to process that in our own minds and helps us to calm down, even if we're not seeking advice from somebody. Just having the ability to talk it out sometimes will really help the situation and help us put us in a more positive state of mind. And even writing is another way to do that as well. But I totally agree with you that having somebody else as kind of a sounding board for you and someone you can trust is definitely very, very important, especially when you're faced with making decisions when you are in those situations.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because when we talk it out, many times, first of all, the thoughts come in our minds first, and we replay it over and over and over. And many times what we're replaying is not as bad as what it really is. And so having the opportunity to actually vocalize it and hear ourselves, hear our own voices, to hear those words, to hear those things that we are actually saying and, putting out there, that will many times, it can in many cases, just sort of like, wow, okay, did I just say that? Or really? you have to sort of think about the things that we've just said. But yes, actually verbalizing that in a safe place, in a safe environment with someone who has earned that right to be there and to help you through that process.
Absolutely. And like you said, the other part of that as well is someone who's willing to listen, who doesn't necessarily come at it from the perspective of, I need to fix this for you, but who's just willing to listen first and then step in, if needed.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Perfect. So why do you think that some people find themselves in these situations more often than others? And I know this is kind of a complex complex question, but I'd like to throw it out there to you, Roz, because I know sometimes, people feel like, or there's even periods in our lives where we feel like it's just one thing after another, it doesn't end. So why do you think that, there's some people in particular who just seem to go through this over and over and over again and find themselves in these situations that are just completely out of left field for them?
Well, I actually think that particularly if there's a recurring pattern, like in relationships or a job or whatever, that person has not learned a valuable life lesson. So things will continue to show up in your life over and over again if you don't get it the first time or the second time. So it's like the person who said, why do I always keep attracting, abusers, or why do I keep attracting alcoholics, or why do I keep attracting people who lie and cheat? Well, the problem is not with the other person. The problem and the issue is in yourself, because it causes us to have to look at ourselves to see what's going on within me, or what message am I sending out to the universe that's attracting those types of people. And so sometimes that's the hardest thing for us to do. It's like the person who can't keep a job. A lot of times we know somebody, at least one person, it seems like they just can never keep a job. So why is it that they can't keep a job? So what is their issue? The issue cannot be with every company that they worked with. But what's going on with this person where they just seem to be jumping from job to job? Are they inherently lazy, quote unquote? And if so, why? Maybe they're actually should be an entrepreneur. Maybe they're just visionaries and they really are entrepreneurs. Or it could be that they don't feel a sense of purpose, so, and therefore they're unfulfilled, so it shows up as laziness. So there could be a multitude of reasons, but if the same thing is recurring in our life, we have to start with ourselves. and search and see, okay, what's going on with me that these things keep showing up, that I keep facing these issues over and over again? And that's the hardest part many times.
Right, and I think underlying all of that is what you said, and you put this so well, is that there is a lesson to be learned in those situations, specifically when the same kind of things start coming up over and over again. And I mm-hmm. firmly believe that. I believe that, you know, God or the universe or, you know, however, or your higher power, however you, whatever you believe, mm-hmm. sometimes those things are put in our path so that we do learn those lessons. And sometimes it takes multiple times, unfortunately, for us to go through some level of pain before we're ready to, or before we even realize that there's a problem and it's something that we need to work on. But I also love your perspective of starting with yourself and not necessarily, you know, blaming or pointing the finger, but really starting from a place of, okay, what's something's going on here. I'm noticing a pattern, or why does this keep happening? But not why does this keep happening to me from a place of anger, but rather, you mm-hmm. know, from a place of curiosity and being willing to say, okay, what is it that I need to do differently, maybe, or who do I need to reach out to help me with this? And that's mm-hmm. one of the reasons coaching is so powerful is that, you know, that really is a big reason why a lot of people contact a coach to be that person to help them through some of those questions and to help them figure out, okay, what's going on behind the scenes, maybe subconsciously or whatever it is mm-hmm. on whatever level that may be triggering these things, and then how do I work through that? And the other thing that I really resonated with what you said is finding that passion and purpose, because that's so true. In that example that you gave about sometimes, you know, we get ourselves in these situations, or maybe we have a job that's not a good fit for us, and we end up, you know, mm-hmm. trying to find a new job over and over. And I've been in the situation myself. So I definitely speak from experience. I don't think I've been at one particular job when I was back in the corporate world that I was in for more than 3 years. And that's because I would get mm-hmm. to a point where I was like, okay, if this is all it is, then I need to find something new. I need to find a new challenge. And that was really a way for, I believe, that was like God's way of saying, you know, if you're bored and this is not what you're supposed to do, you need to be seeking your true path. And I found that after many, many mm-hmm. years. But that's what a good point that you brought up, that maybe that is part of the reason. Maybe it is that you're not suited for that particular situation. It may not be a job. It may be a relationship. Mm-hmm. It may be something else. But it could be your warning sign or your lesson that you need to learn to give you maybe a little bit of a wake-up call and then say, okay, let me dig deeper here. What's going on behind the scenes?
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, there's a saying that when God's time, it might be in a whisper, you know.
Right.
The next time, it might be the wind. And say, you don't want them to knock you off your feet before you
right.
finally hear
right.
it, you know. But there are clues along the
yeah.
way. Yeah. And so sometimes yeah. we're just so accustomed to what I call our normal that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even if it's crazy, the crazy is normal. And we get so
yeah.
accustomed to that we really don't see the message and the life lessons so we can break that cycle and move to the next level. So,
right.
yeah,
and again,
it really
that's
is important.
That you talked about comes in, too.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. And then mm-hmm. another part of that as well, or kind of in line with what you were just saying, is, in addition to kind of trying to figure out what that is not just tapping into your support system, but also just sometimes it just takes being still and asking yourself the question and see what comes up for you. I know this has helped me tremendously as well, not just seeking outside help, but just finding a quiet place and just being introspective and asking myself those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what is going on here? What is it that I need to look out for? What do I need to change? Or who do I need to reach out to help me with this, you know, in this particular situation? And even before that, the step before that is what you mentioned, Roz, the awareness, right? Being aware and then being willing mm-hmm. to ask those questions to take it to the next level and really really try to figure out, okay, what's going on here and how do I prevent this from happening going forward?
Yes, absolutely.
So speaking of that, so mm-hmm. what are some of the beliefs and perspectives that we can have to help us through some of these really trying times?
Well, that's a very good question, because these are the three things that were important to me. I'll share these, and I think they will work for any situation, no matter what anyone is going through when they're faced with these challenges. And the first one is that whatever it is, it won't last forever. So whatever that situation, it's only temporary. You know, sometimes we hurt, our heart is hurting, or we're so broken that it feels like we'll never be healed. It feels like we'll never laugh again and we'll never be happy again. But whatever that situation is, it will not last forever. It's only temporary. So that's the first thing. The second thing is God is in control. Whatever your higher power, that God is in control. And so if he has allowed this situation, this unfortunate circumstance, what I consider an unfortunate circumstance to happen, then there has to be a greater purpose in it other than to make me miserable. So there has to be a greater purpose. So there's something beyond me to know that this has happened for a reason. And the third thing is you are not alone. So many times we feel like we're alone. We feel like no one really understands. But you are not alone. There is nothing new under the sun. And sometimes if we can just take a moment to just, if we're hurting, and many times when we're hurting, it's hard to say I'm hurting or I need help or can you pray for me or, you know, can I come over, can you just listen? You know, to find that person and just to humble ourselves and to ask for help. But you are not alone. And so the worst thing that we can do is try to go through it alone. But those are the main things. Number one, it won't last forever. Number two, God is in control. And number three, you are not alone. So those are my core beliefs, that no matter what's going on or what the situation is, those things keep me sane and keep me focused.
Right. Oh, those are beautiful, Rob. I'm just writing it down because I definitely want to keep that in mind. But that is, yeah, those are really beautiful, powerful, and so to the point. And it's not always easy to have that perspective, especially when it just comes at us, you know, out of the blue. But just being able to stop and think about it, you know, think about what you just said. First of all, that, you know, of course it doesn't, whatever we're going through, even though it might seem like it's going to completely change our lives and it's going to, you know, the repercussions are going to go on forever, but you're right, it, you know, it doesn't last forever. And one of the quotes that comes to mind when you said that was, it's always darkest before the dawn. And yes, I really believe, and that goes back to what we were talking about a lesson. You know, there's always something, there's always a reason and purpose. God is in control, like you said, and everything, I really believe that everything works for our good. So one of the things that I've trained my brain to do the minute something doesn't go my way is to say, what is the purpose behind this? What is the reason? What do I need to focus on in this moment that's going to help me or help me help others? No matter, you know, how bad the situation is, sometimes it does feel like I don't get it. Like there's just, it seems to be random. But if we have that belief that God or the universe or your higher power is in control, and ultimately, you know, he works for our good, and no matter how bad the situation and what we have to go through, there's always a purpose behind it, and everything is going to work together in the end for our good. It just makes that situation, it just helps diffuse the, you know, the level of stress and anxiety around it, and it also helps us look for that lesson. So that, I mean, the quicker we learn the lesson, the easier it's going to be for us to try to move through that. You know, when we can we can try to wrap our heads around, okay, sometimes we can't find the lesson, and that's okay. Sometimes the lesson is learned after the fact, and that's also okay. I mean, I'm sure we can all think of situations, at least one situation in our life where at the time it seemed like it was, you know, the end of the world. It was a terrible situation. But after the fact, we could look back at that and think that if we hadn't gone through that, then a particular, you know, some good wouldn't have come out of it. I know I can certainly name a number of situations that wasn't pleasant at the time, but in retrospect, I can look at that and go, if that didn't happen, then, like one of the things for me is, if I didn't go through what I went through, then I couldn't help other people that are in those positions that need, you know, need help, whether that's through coaching or whatever it is. So, yeah, I love that point. And then finally, like you said, you are not alone. There's always help out there. And really, we're built for connection and community. And we're, you know, that's how we're wired as spiritual beings, to be able to connect with others and to be in relationship with others. And I know from, I mean, I'm an introvert, so it's very difficult for me and has been for me to reach out to get help. But when we realize that that's part of the healing process, that's part of the way we grow and we move forward through those difficult situations, is really helping or reaching out to others rather and helping them. And sometimes, you know what, that might, and actually that slipped out what I just said, that helping them, that really that could be a byproduct of it. Maybe that situation that you're going through is meant to help somebody else. So by you reaching out, you could actually be helping somebody else, your own struggle.
Oh, absolutely. Because even as devastating as the divorce was for me, looking back on it now, I wouldn't be who I am today. I would not be where I am today. I doubt very seriously that I would be a published author and now of two books, one a number one best-selling book. You know, all of that came as a result of the divorce years ago. I am where I am. But I'm also able to help other women who are going through life challenges as well. And so even when we are going through it, especially when you are not alone, and we know that God is in control, but it's so important to know that we need to experience God in flesh. And God shows up in flesh through other people. And so as God is a spiritual being, and we are spiritual as well, but we are also in flesh. You know, we have a body. We have this physical body. And sometimes it's just a hug. You know, sometimes it's just someone to wipe your tears. Sometimes it's, you know, you just need to lay your head on somebody's shoulder. Sometimes you just need to be in the physical presence of someone that you know cares about you. And these are the ways that God expresses and shows himself to us, is through other people. We are the hands and feet and arms of God.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know as women, we're so wired to be the nurturer and to be there for others. And it can make it very difficult for us to ask for that help. But your point is so relevant and so important, that even us as women who are always wanting to be there for other people and be the shoulder for other people, but sometimes, you know, we need that ourselves. And in order to be there for other people and to be at our best, we have to be able to accept that and accept that help from others as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, Ross, what are some of the other things? And we already, you know, answered this a little bit, but what are some of the other ways that people can find strength as they try to move through these situations? We've mentioned, you know, support and our perspective and what we can do to change kind of our perspective and the lens through which we look at situations. But what are some of the other ways that we can find strength to move through those difficult times?
Well, if you don't have the strength, then you have to find it in a power greater than you. And so that power I identify as love. So it can be love for someone else. It might be love for a family member. It might be your children. Love for yourself. Love for those who are depending on you. Love for God. And so that is your motivation and that is your hope from day to day, because when I was going through my mind was totally on my children. And so I had to make it for them, if nobody else. Even if I didn't believe that I needed to do it for me, I had to do it for them. And so they were my motivation, that when I was able to get up, you know, one day at a time, day after day, day after day, and get up. And then, you know, love for your family and other people who are watching and looking to you for encouragement, because the thing is, even if we don't recognize it, the world is watching. People are watching. You are a mentor to somebody, whether you know it or not, whether they have told you or not. And people are looking for hope. They're looking for encouragement. And they're watching how you handle certain situations, you know, the trials of life. And so if it's not, you know, your own children or your own family, then it's someone else. And we can also find encouragement through, you know, different books that that we might be able to find strength through. There are so many out there, you know, right now that we can find a source of encouragement. But initially, the core of it has to be love. It's got to be the love for somebody, for yourself, for your family, or love for God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, but there's got to be, and, you know, we talk about it in terms of, like, a bigger why, and in this situation, it may even be the why for your own existence. You know, what is important to you? Is it to be there for your children, like you talked about, for family members, to be a role model for other people? And I think the underlying thing, even more important than all of that, is how you treat yourself in those moments. Like you said, Roz, is to, you know, your love for yourself has got to come first, because without that, it's going to be very difficult for you to really, you know, be that role model for other people. Because if you don't feel good about yourself, then that shows through. You know, people can sense that and can feel that. And that's going to really affect the way you move through those difficult times as well. So finding that place and finding your value. And I know we talk so much about passion and purpose and all of that, but that also, you know, once you find your bigger why, your bigger purpose, your reason for being here, even if that's, you know, even if it's, you can just look at your children and say, I've got it, like you said, I've got to be there for them, and I've got to be that strong support for them in this moment, even though my world seems to be falling apart. So that bigger why is so important to really help you through that. And then also take care of yourself in those situations and have that level of compassion for yourself that you would have for others. And practice, you know, that loving yourself and being kind to yourself in those situations.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So Roz, I'm going to actually switch gears just a little bit here and let everyone know that today's show is being sponsored by Audible.com. And we'll be talking more about how to pick yourself back up when life throws you a curveball. But I just wanted to take a moment to break and to also let everyone know that Audible.com is our sponsor on Life Coach Radio Network. So Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen on any device. And if you sign up at our URL, audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio, you get one free audiobook and a month free trial of this service, and we really appreciate your support. And again, if any listeners would like to call in and share your opinion and your thoughts with us, or if you have a question for us, we'd be more than happy to answer that for you. And the number is 646-716-9397. So, Ralph, one other thing that I wanted to pick up from what you just mentioned is finding that comfort and support in reading, you know, then going and maybe looking for stories of encouragement and hope. And like you said, I mean, you're not alone. People have gone through maybe not the exact same situation, but very similar situations, and have come out on the other side of it stronger than ever. And it does help to, you know, whether that's listening to a motivational story or like a YouTube video or something like that, or reading somebody else's, you know, a story, and just helping that using that to help give you hope and encouragement. So I love that point as well. I wanted to make sure that I touched on that.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so in these situations, if these situations are about discovering or rediscovering ourselves, like we talked about, how do we go about doing that, Roz?
Oh, that's a very good question. You know, it actually starts with a deliberate quest for the truth about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, that's what keeps people stuck, because their ego won't allow them to come to terms with their truth, which may not be so pretty based on what they believe about themselves. So once you're ready for that truth, once you're ready to receive it, once you're ready to actually deal with it, and no matter what emotions you might have that surface as a result of it, that might be the time that you might want to seek a counselor like Coach who's trained to walk you through that process. Because the funny thing is, our view of ourselves, it tends to be a little skewed. You know, some think too highly of themselves, and then you have some people who think too little of themselves. You know, so when you can delve into who you really are with an objective third party, like where you can be totally transparent, that is quite insightful, and that's where the power is, and that's where it really begins to when you begin to rediscover yourself, or maybe even if you're discovering yourself, who you are for the first time. But you have to be willing, and you have to be deliberate. willing and deliberate to go on that journey for the truth in who you are.
Yes, and those are definitely two key words, willing and deliberate, because you have to be, like you said, you have to be in that place where you're open to that and when you're ready to go through that process of maybe self-discovery to try to figure out, you know, where you are and where you need to be. And the other point that I wanted to touch on that you mentioned is sometimes we do have a skewed view. You know, even if we think we know and we have some kind of idea, maybe we're looking at some of our strengths or looking at our past and trying to, you know, help us navigate that space and try to figure out, okay, what is it that I need to be doing? What is my purpose here? But really the important thing is, like you said, to reach out and get help, you know, get help from somebody, maybe even reading a book. And the other point I wanted to mention here is just being quiet, like taking the time to sit down and really reflect, you know, and think about it and ask yourself those questions and focus on opening up and opening your possibilities and just being open to the whole process, like you mentioned. So being, I love what you just said, willing and deliberate, because those are so important to know, you know, what is the end goal, what are you trying to accomplish, and then to be willing to go through that process and get the help that you need to get to there faster even than, you know, you may have thought possible, and just have another perspective.
Right. Yeah, because even in your reflection, it's important to reflect on what other people have said about you. And you have to ask yourself that question, is it true? Because sometimes people have told us things about ourselves that are not true. They have said things about us, and we believed it, and it's not true. And so there, and it shows up in different areas of our lives. So we really have to search and just reflect on not only what we think about ourselves, but what have other people said about us? Whatever other people said. And, you know, and then ask yourself, is it true? And that's where it starts. And that can be hard to come to terms with. It really can. Because sometimes, as I said, we're in denial about a lot of things. And there are some things that we believe that just aren't true. But we live our lives based on that lie, because we believe it. But it really does start with that reflection, just as you said, is so important.
Absolutely. And some of these things, you know, are so ingrained in us subconsciously. Like, I remember going through the coaching process and uncovering things from my childhood that I heard and I internalized, you know, completely wrong. And, you know, and I believed some of those lies for myself. And I can actually, going through that coaching process, I was able to pinpoint and say, this, you know, my beliefs at that age really did not serve me in making the best decisions in these other situations as I got older. So sometimes it does take a coach or somebody to help you through that, because sometimes we don't know the right questions to ask. And that's what makes the coaching process so powerful, is to be able to really nail those situations and nail those thoughts and where they're coming from. And then also how do you navigate that? How do you work through that? So, that's for me, that was really, really helpful, because it helped me go through that much quicker than I otherwise would have, and it also gave me some insight that I probably wouldn't have had on my own.
Absolutely. I had that very, you know, the same experience going through a process with a coach, because, again, as you don't realize the things that affect you as a child and growing up and the little hints, and a lot of times it's not what people say, but it's what they do or how they treat you. And then it's the feeling that you associate with that becomes ingrained in you subconsciously. And you know, you live those many years without even realizing it. So definitely I had this very same experience in terms of, you know, just bringing some things to light about myself that I really was not aware of, not on a conscious level.
Yes.
But that's so true.
Right, and then, of course, that has a ripple effect, because that's going to impact the way you feel, the way you process information throughout your life, the decisions that you make, and then those decisions is what ultimately leads to your destiny. And so that might be the root of, you know, if people find themselves constantly in these crisis situations, that could really be the root of it, because that's going to impact every aspect of your life. If you have these deep-rooted beliefs or assumptions that you've made through the years or whatever it is that you've carried with you, or interpreted in a certain way, then that's going to affect every single aspect of your life. So that might be a good question to ask as well in terms of, okay, why do I keep finding myself in this situation? Maybe I need to reach out to somebody to give me, like we talked about already, but to give me a different perspective and to ask those questions, draw that out so that I can get to the root of the issue rather than just, you know, feeling like I'm just fighting fires constantly.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, totally agree.
So, Ross, in these situations, of course, we can sometimes feel, very lost and just not even sure how to move forward. And we can also feel a sense of loss of identity and calling, like I know you've experienced in the situation that you talked about in your own life. And it can be very confusing and disappointing. So how can we rediscover our identity in those trying moments? You know, you might find yourself in a place where you thought you had it all figured out and you thought you knew your path and you were on that path. And then all of a sudden, you know, something happens and it just knocks you completely off. And you have to, like you said, rediscover who you are, and you have that almost a sense of loss of identity and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get through that? How do we rediscover our identity?
Yes, that was definitely something that I experienced, because in the church, and particularly being married to a pastor, there is an expectation that is placed on you from the church itself. And so it's easy for the pastor's wife to get lost in who she is. It happens all the time with pastor's wives, because being the nurturers that we are, we become very supportive, you know, and encouraging. But trying to rediscover who I am, I had to go back to the basics and to my core values. Because particularly when it came to my calling, particularly because if I'm not, there's this overarching message in the church that the pastor's wife is, quote unquote, called, you know, to this role. And so if I'm no longer in that role, then what am I now called to? And so that was what I had to rediscover in during my process of what that actually was. What does that now look like? And so there are a lot of questions, you know, that are raised, but I had to go back to the basic core values. Okay, what are my core values? Who am I? You know, what brought me to this place? So it's again a reflection again of myself and the decisions that I've made, but also what is it that I want? Because in that role that I was in, I was living a life based on what everybody else wanted or expected of me.
Right.
So I really had to take the time to ask myself, what is it that I want? What is it that I feel called to? And it may not look like what other people, you know, think you should be doing, or, you know, living in a way that people think you should be living. But I had to go back to just ask myself and then be okay with who I am. Because even if it does not fit the model that other people expected, I have to be okay with who I truly am. And that's what gives you peace and joy and happiness. That's the real freedom. In discovering that, who you are.
Yes, and that's another key point, Rogers. Really, that's where that freedom is, like you said, is when we are able to get to that place where we, in that process of discovering who we are, and once we figure that out, and once we're intentionally walking through that step and helping ourselves really get there, is where we have the most freedom, because that's where we're really tapping into who we were created to be and what we were created to be. And sometimes it takes those situations, and sometimes it takes multiple of those, like you were saying earlier, those unfortunate situations or circumstances to help to get us there. But ultimately, the reward is so much greater. And, you know, it's difficult to even hear that sometimes, because we go through so much, and there's such a deep level of pain sometimes with that. But the reward of that freedom and being free to express yourself and be who you are, it's such a liberating experience. And to know that you can live the rest of your life from that space and just be free, you know, that just is incredible.
Yes, it is. And I had never really experienced that until, you know, after the divorce. I had never experienced that type of freedom because I married into the ministry, you know, in my early 20s. So I married into the ministry, so that just became a part of my life and became a part of who I am, my identity. You know, everything was identified through the church, you know, or through that ministry. So having gone through that and now being disconnected from it, you know, was very liberating to know that, wow, I really get to live my life on my terms, you know, but making that decision to actually do it. Yeah, and just making that conscious decision to actually do it and not be a slave to what other people think.
Absolutely. And that's when we can be the most effective in terms of even being there for other people. And, you know, maybe it's not like in your case, you know, maybe your calling is different than what you originally thought, but they stole a lot of value and a lot that you have to offer and that you discover through that whole process of that, you know, self-reflection and getting to the place where you were free and you realized, you know, there's another purpose or there's a calling for me outside of what I thought would be my my initial calling. And that's really where you feel satisfied because you're able to be of service and be in this world and be the person that you were called to be. And, you know, sometimes, and I've seen this in my own life, when I decided and took that, and it is difficult, it's not an easy thing to do, to take that giant leap of faith and say, I'm going to go out there and not fit this mold that everyone is so used to seeing of me, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to be true to who I am and what I'm called to do. And when I made that decision, you know, so many doors started to open for me, and that really was a confirmation to me that I was on the right path. So sometimes going through those heartaches and those difficult times leads you to such a beautiful place that you wouldn't have been able to get to without going through this. So I always think of it as pebbles, you know, like as stepping stones to that place of freedom and that place of joy and fulfillment that we're all meant to live. So it's not an obstacle, but it's just a stepping stone. We just need to walk through that path, as difficult as it is sometimes. And just, you know, like you said, reach out for support and do those things along the way. So we're learning those lessons. We're doing that, you know, we're going through that difficult process sometimes of self-discovery. But at the end of the day, we're getting to that destination of living a life of joy and fulfillment where we can be, you know, where we can live life that is of service to others in the way that we were created to. Because sometimes we kind of fight against the grain and we try to fit into this mold and we think that it's helping other people. Like I know one of the things that came up for me, Roz, as you were talking is, this, you know, this is a little different from your situation, but we can also lose our identity in being parents or in any kind of relationship. So there's a number of different ways that we can lose our identity, and all of what we're talking about would apply to any of those. And sometimes we feel like we feel trapped almost in that, but not, you know, not in a way that we acknowledge that we're trapped, but we just feel like, okay, that's our calling. This is what we're meant to do, even though inside we tend to struggle with it. But I'll take an example of being a parent for, people feel that they have to give up their dreams and they have to sacrifice so much in order to be a parent. But really, the most effective way to be a parent is to be in touch with who you truly are, who you're called to be, and to live your life from that space, because not only are you a role model, but you feel so much better and so much more fulfilled, and that's going to carry over into your, you know, your life as a mom.
Yes, absolutely. Because what's really interesting is that my children and I, they're in their early 20s. And so we have a wonderful, I have two, a girl and my daughter and my son. And so we have a wonderful, wonderful relationship. And what's great is my son told me a couple of years ago, and he said, you know what, Mom, you really are a lot of fun. You know, because growing up, he just told me his mom, quote unquote, and mom wasn't fun. She was just mom, you know. So I was living that role of mom and trying to be their mom and be, you know, the great mom for them. But he really didn't know me, and so we have a wonderful relationship now, where as my adult children, that they actually know who I am. So we have a relationship that is a friendship, as well. So I'm their mother. They respect me as their mother, but we have a wonderful friendship because I am myself. I am actually living who I am and not who somebody else thought I should have been or who they thought I should have been.
Yes.
And so, you know, and that just, you know, hit home for me because that is so true. And especially as mothers, how we get just so engulfed and, like I say, trying to make dreams happen for everybody else, for all the people that we love and care about. And we, many times, we forget about our own. We do.
Yeah.
We forget.
Thank you for sharing that. That is so beautiful that your son would see that in you, because that also is another validation of your journey and the fact that you took the time to discover who you were and you weren't ashamed to share that, you know, and that gives them permission. As, you know, it gives our kids permission, and it helps them have a role model to say, you know what, it's okay to fail, it's okay to go through that process and to discover who you are, and then don't be afraid to take that next step and be who you are. And it's, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, Ross, so one of the other things I wanted to talk about a little bit, and we did touch on this already, but the question that I have is, how do we build our self-esteem and self-confidence and that sense of value that we've been talking about so that we're less likely to be as shaken by life, you know, curveballs as we go through life?
Yeah, well, that was very that was something that I had to deal with, because when you feel rejection is never a good feeling, because it does touch on your self-esteem or your self-worth or your self-confidence. And so having to get past that, what I had to do and what others, I encourage others to do, is that don't forget about where you've come from. Sometimes when we are going through a situation or our trials, we forget about the battles of the past that we've already overcome. And so there is strength in that. And sometimes we have to look back at what we have been through, no matter how big or how small, but we've survived past disappointments and we're still here. And if you are still here, that is something to be excited about, because there are some who unfortunately have taken their own lives because they just, quote unquote, couldn't take it. They didn't think they could take it. But you're still here, and that is something to celebrate. So if you're still here, that in and of itself, you can say, wow, I made it then. Okay, well, I can get through this. And if you haven't yet felt any, you know, pain, or if you haven't had any struggles yet that you consider to be big, look at the triumphs of other people around you. Look at people who have gone through situations and they've come out on the other side. Look at cancer, whether it's cancer survivors, burn victims, you know, other people who maybe have had other broken relationships, but they are still here. They made it. And let that be your source of encouragement to know that if they did it, I can do it too. And so whatever it is that you've gone through, you may be bruised, you may be broken, but the good news is you made it. You know, you actually made it. It may not have looked pretty, but you survived to tell your story. And that's the main thing. So you had strength that you didn't know you had. You have it, and it's there. And you will overcome. And you are an overcomer. You made it. And if you are here to tell your story, you are an overcomer. And let that be your encouragement.
Absolutely. So beautifully said, Roz. There's just so much in what you just said that jumps out at me. I mean, every single part of it is so relevant to what we're talking about. And it goes back to the question that I asked, which is, you know, how do we build our self-esteem and self-confidence? And one of the big ways to do that is, like you just said, is to go back and look at those things, look at those difficult situations that you were able to overcome. You know, and if you could get through those, then, you know, there's nothing that is too big for you to be able to get through in the situation. And sometimes, you know, it is difficult when we're in those tough situations and we want to just get through it and then forget about it. But that
right,
is really
right.
where a lot of our strength comes from, is to be able to reflect on those and say, I made it through that. You know, somehow, like you said, may not have been pretty, but somehow
right.
I'm still here. And there's a purpose and there's a reason for that. Maybe it is to, you know, maybe it's that next stepping stone or that lesson that you needed to learn to get you to the next level. Maybe it's something
mm-hmm.
that you had to go through in order to turn around and then help others through that situation.
Yes.
Whatever it is, there's a purpose. And a reason. But that reflection, that point that you just made on reflection is really, really important to our own self, you know, own sense of self-confidence and to be able to reflect and say, if, and even one of the exercises that I like to do as well is, and even ask people to do, is to write down your list of accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Write down the list of all those obstacles, those challenges that you've overcome.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a board next to my bed where I have sticky notes with all of those things. And when I feel like I'm, you know, when I get discouraged and I feel like I just don't even know how I'm going to take the next step, I go to that board and I look at all of those things that I've been able to accomplish in the past, all those obstacles that I'm able to overcome, and it gives me so much strength and self-confidence in my ability. And I can look at that and go, wow, if I could do that, I mean, surely I can get through this.
Exactly.
So
there's
definitely huge value in reflection and looking at those and using those to build your strength and to build your confidence.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We have to celebrate the victories all along the way.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and like you said, it may not always look pretty in the moment, but there is a victory coming out of it.
Absolutely.
So, yes. So, Rod, let's talk about what you have to offer your clients. So obviously, you are just a wealth of knowledge and information, and I can tell that you bring such tremendous value to your clients as a coach. So what I'd like to do is take a moment and talk a little bit about what you offer your clients. And I know one of the things that you've developed is your Still the Lady program. So I'd love for you to touch on that and anything else that you'd like to share with us.
Oh, sure, yes. As a result of my experience as a former pastor's wife or first lady, as they're called, first lady of the church, I developed this program called Still the Lady, and that's what it's called. And that's my signature program, which is designed for former pastors and ministry wives, because there were some challenges that I went through. I realized on my journey there were some challenges that I went through that the I call the divorce recovery group just did not address. And so program was developed to deal with those issues that I didn't have anyone there to kind of tell me what to expect along the way, you know. So it's to help them through that process to deal with the specifics of just transitioning from that role. And so that's why it's there. Because unfortunately, divorce in the church, you know, there's a report that says that there are about 1,500 pastors that leave the ministry each month. And so if they're leaving the ministry, that's each month, not a year, each month.
Mm.
And so if they're leaving the ministry, their families are being affected as well. And so I developed that program to address those needs of those ladies who might be going through, because it may not be divorce. It could be because of, you know, burnout, because their husband experienced some burnout and they're no longer in that role. Or moral failure, you know, some type of moral failure, and they're no longer in that role. So that's what that program is about. But I also help other women who are experiencing, you know, major life challenges, who find themselves just maybe stuck and trying to move forward, who need some help and encouragement, and maybe are in the process of rebuilding their lives or searching for their passion and purpose. And so my website is buildyourlifeagain.com. And on that website, people can sign up for a 30-minute discovery session. It's a complimentary, confidential session where I talk with them and I see how I can work with them to get them moving and moving forward to live the life that they want on their terms.
Great. And the other thing I wanted to find out more about, Roz, and you mentioned this, is your books. And I know you're a best-selling author, and congratulations on that. That is not an easy thing to do. So congratulations, and I definitely want to hear more about your book. And I know our audience would definitely love to hear a little bit more about that as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. The first book that I was published in is called Reposition for Change. That came out earlier this year. And it's an anthology, and I have a chapter in that book. And the name of it is The Making of a Dream. That's the title of my chapter. And so that one was my first published work. So I'm still quite proud of that. And the second book that was recently released, actually about a week ago, It's titled Chocolate and Diamonds for the Woman Soul. And it's a collection of over 100 authors, women authors. And each of us, we write a story. We tell our story. And so I have a chapter in that book, and it's called It's a Great Day. And actually what it's about is your life and your legacy. So those are, and the Chocolate and Diamonds for the Woman Soul was actually, is now a number one, Amazon number one bestseller. So that's how I gained that title, was through that work. And those are available on Amazon, or you can go to my website, buildyourlifeagain.com.
Fantastic. Thank you, Roz. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about, you know, looking for those inspirational stories and those, you know, other people that have maybe gone through a similar journey and getting hope and inspiration from them. So what a great book to pick up to
yes.
help women who may be going through, you know, a difficult challenge right now. So thank you so much for doing that and for, you know, putting your story out there, because that's not easy. And but it does
mm-hmm.
help encourage other people so much. So that's incredible. Congratulations again.
Thank you. Thank you.
So we are actually at the top of the hour already. This hour just completely flew right by. So, Roz, what I'd like to do is ask you for any final thoughts or comments that you have, and also remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Okay. Well, final thoughts are that if anybody is finding themselves having to start over again, that although it might be scary, it is possible to have the life that you want. Don't get stuck. Make decisions. And you really can live the life that you want on your terms. You can find more about me and my programs at buildyourlifeagain.com, or you can find me on Facebook, Roz Bazile, Life Coach and Author, Build Your Life Again.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Roz. I really appreciate you spending time with me on this call and for sharing what you did. It's been very valuable to me, and I know it's very valuable to our listeners as well. So on that note, what I'd like to do is share a quote as my final thought for our show today. And it's by Mary Pickford, and she said that if you have made mistakes, even serious ones, there's always another chance for you. And this goes back to what Roz just said. And what we call failure is not the falling down, but the staying down. So I just thought that was very relevant for what we talked about today, and just really helpful in terms of how we frame, how we look at these situations, these difficult situations that we go through. So if anyone would like to reach me, you can contact me at info, that's I-N-F-O, at charissasebastian.com, and my website, which is www.charissasebastian.com. And you can find the link to my website as well as Roz's website on the page that you used to listen to this radio show. And also all of my social media links can be found on my website. And I'd also like to give all of you share with you a special offer that I promised at the beginning of the show for that women's spa retreat that's coming up on October 10th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So we have a buy one, get one half off offer for those tickets when you use code half off, so H-A-L-F-O-F-F, at our web. You can go find the page through our website at stopsmilebreathe.com and just click on the link for the next retreat and go ahead and enter the code half off to get to buy one ticket and get the other half off for that retreat on October 10th in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And we would love to see you there. So to find out more about the Life Coach Radio Network, you can go to our website at lifecoachradionetwork.com. And you can find more information on our coaches and future shows on that site. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to let you know about some of our upcoming shows. On September 23rd, which is this Wednesday at noon Eastern, there's a show entitled Think Tank, Procrastination, the Why, the How, and the Effect and the Solution with certified coach Jan Jaffe. And I'll actually be joining Jan on that call together with Susan Gonzalez, and we'd love for you to listen in. And then there's also another show on September 26th at 10 a.m. Eastern called Reveal Your Excellence with the On-Camera Coach, and that's with Renee Ellison. And then finally on October 14th at noon Eastern is the show Your Best Life with Certified Life Coach Jan Jaffe. So these are just some of the upcoming shows that we have on Life Coach Radio Network. And again, you can go to Life Coach Radio Network to find out more. So thank you so much for joining us on the show, and I hope you have enjoyed it as much as I have. Thank you again, Roz, for your time and for your wisdom, and I look forward to maybe having you back on the show again. So thank you all so much. Oh, perfect. Thank you, Roz.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem. Thanks, everyone. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.